chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 37 to 50. I count on that truth this morning. How about you? Day by day, underlying truth, but yet it's a reality that Jesus loves me still. And what a fantastic, incredible truth to live by. I want to thank you for your continued prayers on our behalf. They are doing, you may think they're not doing any good, but they do. Different things that occur, and we feel that it's the result of so many people praying. And so we thank you for that and for text messages in the last week. I got my catheter and so on, received some text messages and some special cards, and you don't realize how they come at just the right moment and what a blessing they are, and so we want to thank you for that. Taking time to think our way, and we realize our situation is small compared to many, and there's many needs. Luke 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something or somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. For all who are able, we would ask that you would kneel.
We greet each of you in the name of Jesus. It's really good to be here and worship together. The title of our message is called Love's Connections. We're not going to be looking mainly at the scripture I gave, but we're going to be reading that later. We want to see how love, God's love, connects us. We want to talk about our love for God and how it connects us to God. And then we want to look at how love connects us to each other in the body of Christ. First of all, love connects God to us. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You see, God did not need us because God needs nothing. But God did desire someone to love. And creation is a handiwork of God's desire to love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In 1 John 4, verse 10, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. You see, before time had begun, we were connected to God with his love, an everlasting love. We sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm going to read a couple of those Bible verses. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before creation, he ordained us and chose us. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, the nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you and for me. Titus 3, verse 3 to 5, it talks about how we used to walk, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us, abounded on us in all wisdom and insight. The word lavished, it means to be in excess. It talks about abundance, exceeding, increase. His correction, his connection with us through love didn't give just enough. It didn't give us a little extra. His victory by his crucifixion and resurrection, by grace, it lavishes on us all. It sprinkles in excess, exceedingly abundantly, but above all we need for salvation and life. Ephesians 3, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes understanding, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. His love created us. His love pursued us. His love planned a way of escape. Many of you, you've had people do things for you, and most of the time their manner of doing it stood out as they gave. And you thought, well, he did it because he felt he had an obligation. Or he did it because, well, he wants something in return. Or he did it because he felt guilty. But Christ's motive for the free gift is always found in love. How have you reacted to this free gift? This salvation is lavished on us, is free. But yet many try to earn their salvation. They can't accept the free gift. They try to pay for it instead of accepting his salvation. Not long ago, my sister Mary, my physical sister Mary, made a special trip to my house to deliver this jacket to me. And it says, International SCN 8A Alliance Collaborating for a Cure. And I'll explain a little bit later what that means. And I asked her, I remember asking her, Mary, what did it cost? And she said, it cost a lot. And so I offered to pay for the gift. She said no. Later I began, you know, it's normal, thinking, how can I pay Mary? And I remembered when she walked in our house, she smelled coffee, and she really liked the smell. And so I thought, well, I can pay her back by giving her a box of coffee pods. But later I thought, no, This is a love gift from my sister Mary. I need to accept the gift instead of trying to earn the gift. You know, the gift of salvation is free, but I've talked to many people. They're trying to earn their salvation. In other words, I need to do this for the Lord. I need to do that for the Lord. I need to do this to be accepted by Him. We try to pay the price for our sins by struggling to be more moral or more righteous, and we turn our lives upside down, trying to live up to the standard so that we can make it to heaven by our works. But all we do is never sufficient. Only His blood is good enough. Do you believe that? It's a free gift. The price is paid. But yet many Christians struggle trying to earn a right standing before God. Just recently, I talked to a man. It was the first time I met him. And he told me he has a problem. He said his homemade ice cream, it never gets hard. He said no matter how long he turns a crank, or if he has electric, I don't know, no matter how long he has it plugged in, he said, it never gets hard for me. He don't know what's going on. And then he explained the process. He said he puts ice in the wooden bucket, then he puts some salt on top of that, then he pours hot water over the ice and salt, and it doesn't get hard, and he doesn't understand why. And I thought, did I hear correctly? Did he say he uses hot water to make ice cream freeze? I asked him, is that what you said? He said, yes, that's how I do it. And then he explained the scientific rationale for using hot water to make ice cream cold. He said, that's the way my dad did it. So this man, he struggled with a dysfunctional method because the culture he grew up in had a dysfunctional system. And so what was to be a time of happiness was a struggle. You know, many Christians, they reject the love connection of free salvation, and instead they struggle with trying to earn salvation through a dysfunctional system. And many parents, we can pass this down to our children, teaching children to earn their salvation. We try to pay for the gift. And we can never pay enough. We can never be righteous enough to get to heaven. Only the blood of Christ is sufficient. God is connected to us through His love. His love connects us to eternity past, and His love connects us to eternity future. Next, we want to look at how love connects us to God. And we read in Luke 7, verse 37, "And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisees' house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with oil. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake unto himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner." The Pharisee was critical. Jesus shouldn't have left her in. And Jesus describes what she did in verses 44 to 47. Can you see her tears flowing on Jesus' feet? And she dried them with her hair. She anointed his feet with compassion. And it seems like she did it for a long period of time. And Simon the Pharisee said, "This is wrong. She's a sinner." Jesus said in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." You see, she was connected to Jesus by her love. She loved him because she saw something special in Jesus. She saw he loved her. She saw his compassion. She saw the way he touched the hearts of people, changing them from the inside out. She saw his fellowship with sinners. She loved him much. She saw the forgiveness he had to offer. And so she was compelled to act. She wasn't forced to do it. Love was what compelled her to action. You see, love should connect us to God. The center motivational force in our lives that produces worship is our love for God. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, a verse you're familiar with. To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and soul. Love and serve him with all your heart and soul. We love him because he first loved us. He gives freedom, freedom from the law, freedom from the bondage to sin, freedom to live a holy life, freedom from fear and wrath. Christ's love compels us to love him in return. Love motivates our actions. And you see, it all starts in our heart. It can't be forced. It's a voluntary choice to love and obey in your heart. You know, when a mother is expecting, the parents love to hear the heartbeat of the baby. You see, the physical heart is life. The physical heart brings action and movement. And when the heart stops, so does the life and the movement. You see, spiritually, it's all about the inward heart. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, the Holy Spirit fills us, and we become alive in Christ, and the life of Christ pulses through our bodies. And while we live and love and serve him, not by force or law, Galatians 5, verse 18, but if you led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, but because we love him who first loved us. Our changed inward heart reaches out to God in obedience. I want to share just a little testimony about this verse in John 14, 15. If we love him, keep my commandments. If we love him, keep my commandments. I was thinking about this verse as I studied this. You know, at one time, I used this verse as a weapon, I'm ashamed to say. I know, like when I was teaching, I would just emphasize the last part of the verse, keep my commandments. You have to obey, you have to do this or that, or you don't love God. I probably used this verse already in meetings with people, church-related meetings for one reason or another. And I came to the realization I was wrong. The verse, it emphasized, if you love me. And I neglected that the motivation is love. Love motivates our action. The verse is saying, love for Christ is to be the motivation. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, an amazing verse, it says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn on the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. You know, when a Jew tore apart his garment, it was symbolic of great grief, symbolic of sorrow over sins and transgression. But the Lord said to the prophet Joel, it's all about the heart. The symbolism needs to be matched inwardly by a heart that is sorrowful and repenteth over sin. The transformation needs to start first in the heart and move outward, or it's worthless. Where am I in my connection with God? Do I serve by force and compulsion, or am I authentic? I ask us, is our inner heart matching what shows outwardly? Someone said, I heard this said years ago, that in the Old Testament they obeyed so they could live, but in the New Testament we live so that we can obey. You know, our love for Christ propels us to anoint his feet, to serve him, obey his word in entirety. And we have joy, we have freedom in Christ. If Christ has set you free, you shall be free indeed. We are free to love him. We are free to serve him out of love. And we have that joy and that peace which passeth his understanding, because we love him who first loved us. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with worketh in love. I know over the last, again, just a little bit of testimony, over the last couple of years, the Lord has really been working on my heart and changed my perspective about Christ and his ways. I remember I used to look down on others who didn't believe like I did. And I know I used to mainly only look at outward appearance. And I ignored Jesus' advice that major doctrines are more weightier than lesser doctrines. And what I did in my life, I made lesser doctrines more weighty. And I misused God's word and looked down on others. I guess you could say I was that Simon the Pharisee who was condemning the woman in the city. But God didn't give up on me. God has changed me, and I rejoice in what he has done. But what I want to ask you, anything he's working on you? Is Christianity just a routine? Are you just playing church? You can give your heart and in love, you know, that choice of love, serve him. And you can pass it on to your children. Let them see a mom and dad who serve willingly from the heart. Create a culture in your home. We were talking about the man with ice cream. Create a culture in your home and in a church of being life-filled with joy and passionate about Christ. Your love for Christ connects you to him. We saw how God is connected to us by love. You are connected to God by love. Thirdly, love connects the body of Christ. God's love pursued us and redeemed us, and we're forever connected by that. Our love for God reaches out to him, and with our heart we seek to obey him. But we are also connected by our love here at Pleasant Hill, and those watching live streaming at your church, you are connected to each other by your love. 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to, what? Love one another. Because God loved us, we should love our brethren. You know, this agape love for our fellow church members, sometimes it can be stretching. You sisters, you know, many times you want to take a meal to someone, but you have dishes to wash and rooms to clean, and it seems hard. And, you know, going visiting in the evening when there's so much to do, it can seem difficult and stretching. True love, reaching out to the body like Christ reached out to us, it can seem overwhelming until we remember how Christ stretched himself for our good. Christ had sleepless nights, 3 years teaching and preaching, the pain and torture of the cross. If Christ so loved us, was connected to us, we also ought to love our brethren. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from life unto death because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So this verse takes it a little further. If we don't love our brethren, if we don't act to help him or her, It means Christ's love isn't even in us. Can others see that connection in us? You know, some people are connected to each other by sports. Some are connected, you know, in enthusiasm for the Ravens or enthusiasm for the Orioles or others. Some people are really connected by their love for hunting or their love for fishing. We're connected by bloodlines. But for us at Pleasant Hill, it is agape love that flows from Christ into us, that connects us to each other. Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave ye, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Brothers and sisters, if the love of the body here, isn't in your heart, why isn't it? Has the fire of God grown cold? Do we have heart issues? I want to ask us to take steps to be revived and let His Spirit inject you with new life and fruit and passion. I told you I would tell you about this jacket. I'll come down here so you can see a little bit better. I said this is a special gift from my physical sister, Mary. Here it says International SCN 8A Alliance, collaborating for a cure. Now, SCN 8A, it's a name of a genetic defect. It's present only in 1 in 60,000 people. And what it does, it mainly affects the nervous system. And genetic mutations or variants in the SCN8A gene, what it does, it leads to altered sodium flow in the pathways, and that creates excess or reduced, as far as exciting the nerves. And what it does, it results in epilepsy of varying severity, and it causes related orders. It was just discovered in 2012, and it affects people differently. From what I've heard about it, mainly children born with this, they have when they're young, they have many seizures and they can't control them, and many of them can never live a normal life because of it. And the other symptoms include learning disabilities, developmental delays, and a lot of people that have this genetic defect, they have features similar to autism. But some who are born with it, they only have seizures before they are 2 years old. And so to me, this is kind of where it gets personal, and that is, Mary and I, and there are some others in the extended Mumford family, we were only mainly affected by this SCN8A. We had seizures in our youth. And so we're thankful it didn't affect our families in drastic ways. Mary and I, we know a mother and her one-year-old son who live nearby. They both have it. The one-year-old started having seizures since his birth. And so she took him to a neurologist. But because the neurologist didn't know anything about this genetic defect, she just wanted to treat the baby like any other baby that had seizures. And so she refused to put him on medicine. And so finally the mother had a genetic test done. So she was armed with some ammunition. But it didn't came back positive. It didn't change a doctor's mind. She was not given any medicine for her child. And so she took him to another neurologist. Again, she was denied given medication because of ignorance. So her child continued to have seizures. So she got an appointment at a well-known specialist hospital. And sadly, they also didn't know anything about it. So her child is still without the medicine he needs. And you know, every seizure in a child can produce long-term brain damage. So now she is looking for another neurologist and hoping someone can help her. I say that because, you know, this jacket is special to me. It spreads the message about this defect. It points people to the SCN8A Alliance, who their goal, you know, I've talked to a couple people there. In their heart, their goal is to help people and inform people, give out information. They're doing research. And when I wear this jacket, people will ask me what it means, because it has those strange letters on. And I can tell them what it's about. It's special to me because of my connection with my sister. It's special because the message here is personal. It is close to my heart. I want to ask us all, do we have that special connection with God? Is he close to your heart? Do you want to tell others about him? Is your relationship with him formal? Or is he just an acquaintance? Are you connecting by the realization that he has a deep love for you? He gave you a gift. It wasn't a jacket. He gave you the gift of salvation. He paid the price, and the price was high, the ultimate price. Are you excited that you are so special in his sight? This jacket I mentioned, it's special because my sister Mary gave it to me. And every time I wear it, I'll think of her love for me. She spent a lot of money. She viewed me as special. It's special because of the message it gives out. Hopefully, it'll help people. And I know what some of you are thinking. You might call this just strange. You might say it's just a jacket. And you know, if you did, I might be hurt. Because to me, this jacket is much more than that. I wear it because of the connection. I wear it because of the message. I would not expect you to wear it. But can you at least understand the reason I wear it? But I was thinking maybe some of you would like one. And if you want one, you can talk to Mary. I don't know if it'd be free or not, though. But I hope you respect me when you see me in it. I hope you understand the personal value for me. You know, in Scripture, the biggest reason that Christians were not connected to each other was they didn't respect each other. And both Romans and 1 Corinthians have a whole chapter on this problem. Some Christians in Group A would look down on other Christians for not doing this or that because they, Group A, thought Scripture commanded it. The other Christians, Group B, didn't respect this first group because they, Group B, thought Scripture didn't command it. And some of the issues in Romans 14, this isn't all of them. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. You see, they had deep divisions because they didn't respect each other and didn't understand each other. Group A tried to force Group B to do this. Group B tried to convince Group A to stop doing what they were doing. And Paul told them just to stop and respect. Try to understand each other. Don't cause your brother to sin and be a stumbling block. And I know many of you possibly are struggling with respecting others. And have you lost that connection? Isn't it time we try to understand each other? I think you understand when you see me wearing this jacket in Hanover. I think you understand why I'm wearing it, at least I hope. But do you try to understand your brother or sister? God is connected to us by his sacrificial love. We are connected to God by our agape love. But are we connected to each other with this love and understanding? For closing, I thought I'd give a homework assignment. I know we usually don't do this during services, but I felt led I should do this. I'd like you to read over Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8. Those are the two chapters I mentioned. And I would like encourage you to read over them and put a note in my mailbox just telling me how God has spoken to you through those chapters. May God bless each of you.
This is the last place the speaker occupied. I thought I would occupy it as well. I know the sound person, that sends them in a kind of a tizzy, but I appreciate the message and would like to share a prayer for you as a blessing that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Listen as I share this with you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's love's connection. We invite you to stand as we pray at this time.